There are many ways to know there is a God. One way is to count the ways God works in our lives. Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. Today, we're exploring what God has done for us.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. God gave us His Word to teach us, to reprove us, to correct us, and to train us in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We all need and we want that training so that we may live with God eternally. Thanks for taking time with us today. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to be a part of your life each week. We don't serve a dead God, nor do we serve a hidden or silent God who has nothing to do with us. God hasn't forgotten us. He knows more about each of us than we know about ourselves. We serve a God who cares for us and wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, we can know the truth. And Jesus promised in John 8:31-2 that if you continue in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, the deists of former years thought God wound up the world like a person winds up a clock. I can remember as a boy my father turning the key that would wind up the clock that sat on the mantle. And he wound up the clock spring and got the pendulum moving and let it tick. And he didn't have to do anything else for about a week. Well, sometimes people think God got the world started, but isn't doing anything for us today. Let's examine carefully what God has done for us and how He's done more than we ask or think. Now, this is an important study on what God has done, and we offer it free. If you'd like a printed copy and live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We also have free materials on our website at searchtv.org. Now, you can also see us on YouTube. We will now worship in song. We'll read from Acts 2:22-24, and we'll explore all the wonderful things God has done for us. Our reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. And here, Peter, in that lesson on the day of Pentecost, talks about what God is doing through Christ. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Oh, I'm thankful for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which gives us hope. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have acted through Jesus Christ to give us the hope of eternal life through his death, burial, and resurrection. Help us to be devoted to him with all our heart and soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do we know God exists and is working in our lives? Well, first, God made you and gave you life. Yes, you're created in His image and likeness. God said in Genesis 1, 26 to 27, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Yes, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Genesis 2 and verse 7 continues, "Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living being." Hebrews 12 and verse 9 says that we should respect God as the Father of spirits. Yes, He gave us our bodies and our spirits. Paul described the God that we serve to the Athenians in Acts 17, 24 to 29. "He is the God who made the world and all things in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth. And He does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to inhabit all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are His offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to suppose that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the craft and thought of man. Someone says, well, Phil, this is circular reasoning. We know there is a God because the Bible says so. Well, I understand that, but let's look at humanity. Humans are intricately made. Every cell in our body has a unique DNA molecule that contains an enormous amount of information that determines every aspect of our makeup and proves that we are designed. Humans are intelligent, and they're thinking beings unlike any other being on earth. Humans have a spirit and a conscience that continually assesses our morals. And to suggest that humans evolved from non-living matter and developed into highly intricate, intelligent beings demands assuming what has never been proved. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than to believe that we're created. Why, even Charles Darwin, as he concluded the origin of species, realized that there was a creator. Second, God gave His Son Jesus for your sins. James 3 and verse 16 and 17 says, that is John 3 and verse 16 and 17, that God so loved the world, and He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish or shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Yes, God sent His Son to save us from sin. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that He might bring you to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. The sins God forgives are fully forgiven, though they may be beyond counting. David wrote in Psalm 103, 11 to 12, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. I'm so grateful the Lord Jesus was willing to die in my place so that my sins could be forgiven. Third, God raised up Jesus to be Lord and to be the Christ, the Messiah. Peter said on Pentecost to the Jews in Jerusalem in Acts 2 and verses 22 to 4, men of Israel, listen to these words, Jesus the Nazarene, He was a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God did through Him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of lawless men and put Him to death. But God raised Him up again, putting an end to the agony of death since it was impossible for Him to be held in His power. Now later in this same sermon, Peter announced in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. I tell you, we have a Lord and Savior because of what God has done by giving us Jesus Christ. Fourth, God makes us His children. John 1, 11 to 12 says, but as many as received Him, that is, welcomed Him, accepted Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Yes, we must believe in Him, but biblical faith always acts. Galatians 3, 26 to 27 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. When believers are baptized, they become children of God, clothed with Christ. We're no longer strangers to God, but His sons and daughters. Who can measure all the blessings, joy, and love that our God has bestowed upon us? In 1 John 3:1, it says, "See how great a love the Father has given to us, that we would be called children of God, and we are." Fifth, God provides for His people. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:31-34, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." God is with us, and He knows our needs even before we ask Him, and we can trust Him to meet our needs. Sometimes Christians wonder how they can afford to do God's will. I love the promise of 2 Corinthians 9:8-10, which helps us to turn from looking at ourselves to looking at what God can do for us. This passage says, "And God is able to make every grace abound to you, so that in everything, at every time, having every sufficiency, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, He scattered abroad. He gave to the needy. His righteousness stands forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Sixth, God answers our prayers. The Lord Jesus promises God's children in Matthew 7:7-11, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he won't give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what's good to those who ask Him?" We must trust God to do what is best for us, answering our prayers. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." We often think that we know what's best, but we must trust God. Psalm 37:4-5 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it." When we set our hearts upon doing what is right, God will indeed help us. Ephesians 3:20-21 reminds us of God's ability. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or understand or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Seventh, God blesses the faithful person who overcomes temptation and the challenges of this world. "He who overcomes will eat of the tree of life and never be hurt by the second death. He'll enjoy the hidden manna and receive a white stone. He will receive authority and receive the morning star. He will be clothed in white garments and will have his name in the book of life and will have his name confessed before the Father and his angels. He'll become a pillar in the sanctuary of God and never leave." Oh, he will have God's and Christ's name and God's city written on him and will sit down with Christ on his throne. Revelation 2:7, 11, 17, 26-28, 3, 5, 12, and 21. All these promises of God. Eighth, God is at work in our lives. Paul told the Philippian church in Philippians 2:12-13, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." When God's people work out their salvation with fear and trembling, God is working in them to will and do His good pleasure. God works with us and in us. Ninth, God raised Jesus from the dead. Acts 2:24 says, "But God raised Him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Him to be held in His power." The New Testament speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ 120 times. Romans 1 and verse 4 reminds us that God declared with power that Jesus was the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. He was raised and is now sitting at the right hand of God, far above all rule and power. And tenth, God will raise us up and give us a home in heaven. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 says, "Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power." The Lord Jesus said in John 5, 28 and 9, "Don't marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice. They'll come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Oh, no one will doubt God or His word on the day of judgment." The Lord Jesus promised in John 14, verses 1 to 3, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I tell you, faithful Christians have the promise of eternal life in heaven with the Lord Jesus. I can't think of anything that is greater, that is grander, that is more precious than knowing that I can be with my Father in heaven who made me and my Lord Jesus who died for me and rose again. To have that promise, to have that opportunity is one of the great blessings of life. Don't neglect the opportunity to serve the Lord, to be faithful, and to be His child. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for Your love, and we're grateful for what You have done for us every step of the way. Father, help us to serve You and to love You with all our heart and soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that He would give you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being firmly rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19. Well, I pray that too. I want Christ to dwell in your heart by faith, so that you will comprehend with all the saints the great love of Christ. I want God to be in your heart and life. You see, God wants to be part of your life and to help you, but you must let Him into your life. You can't ignore or dismiss God or dismiss His Word and expect to know Him and His love for you. You can't ignore the Lord's church, made up of the Lord's family, and expect to draw close to God. Jesus purchased the church with His own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. So please make a firm commitment to the Father in heaven and the Lord Jesus. Believe Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Turn from your sins and live for righteousness. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized into Christ, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, baptism is for those who are old enough to believe and need to repent. Won't you turn to the Lord today in faith and love? And if you need to, be baptized today. We pray today's study about what God has done has helped you to see God's concern for you. If you live in the United States and you want a free printed copy of this message, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call the Search Office toll-free at 1-800-321-8633. Well, there's also a schedule of our programs and a map with the location of churches in your area at searchtv.org. We also want to say to you that Search appears on YouTube. We ask that you subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, that's all one word, and be sure to like the programs. This helps us spread the program and more people to see it. We also offer free Bible correspondence courses. Now, don't worry, we're not asking for money. We're here to help you draw close to God. Focus your heart on God by worshiping at church. Everybody needs a church family, and there's probably a Church of Christ near you. And if you're looking for a healthy, biblical church home, we'll gladly help you find one. Well, we'll be back next week, Lord willing. So keep searching God's Word. Study the Word of God, the Bible, and tell a friend about our program. And as always, we say to you, God bless you, and we love you from all of us at In Search of the Lord's Way.